This morning we're going to be in the book of 1 John, chapter 3. I'm going to be reading verses 1 to 10. In just a minute, I'm going to ask that you, this is going to be one of those times where we physically engage, okay? I'm going to ask if you're able to stand up and actually just put out your hands. And what we're doing there, it's not just some ritual or anything. Actually, I just asked you to do it last week, but I think we should do it again. I want you to be reminded that as you put out your hands, you are receiving the Word of God. This, too, is an amazing and special event. Everything that we have received from God. All good things. If you do not have a Bible, we do have a little stack of them in back there, and you can have one, actually, if you don't have one of your own, but we just ask that you take it with you, and you use it, and you let the Word of God change your life. After I read, I'm gonna pray. So if you need to sit down at any point, it shouldn't be too long, but if you need to sit down, that's okay. So please stand if you're able. Just stretch out your hands and receive this. Hear the word of the Lord. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world did not know us is because it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins. In him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whomever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God, we praise you. And as we receive your word, we thank you. And we ask that you would by your spirit, you would pour out wisdom, pour out insight. Give us open eyes and open ears that our hearts would be changed by the truth of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. What kind, what sort of love has the Father given to us? Let me ask you this morning, how do you see God? Some of you are coming in struggling with that this morning. I'm glad you're here. When you look at the scriptures, what God are you seeing? As a pastor friend of mine here in the city likes to actually ask his own congregation, do you like God? Is the God that you see, or the God that you are, that comes into your mind, is that God one that you want to spend time with? You want to be around? I want to ask you this question too. How many of you are walking in today burdened by your sins? That you just can't overcome. You put on a smiling face. You come in, you look all shiny, but you know what's going on. How many of you are burdened by shame? Deep shame. See, look, shame is where shame causes us to want to hide from God. How many of you are in that place right now? You know, last week I gave you an assignment, didn't I? I said, get up every morning this week and pray. Holy Spirit, teach me Christ. Teach me Christ today, and then pray that throughout your day. I've been praying that too. I didn't just give you that and just walk away from it, by the way. I do the assignments too. I had an interesting week. See, I woke up Friday with John's words here running through my head. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. What sort of love? That just stuck into my head. What categories do I even use for this love? What is it about God's love that He has given that is different than the love that we experience anywhere else? I chewed on that as I got up and I got ready. You see, Friday is my Sabbath, and I like to go and sweat it out in a park somewhere hiking. So I was getting ready for that. I prepped the pizza dough for Friday night, because Friday night is pizza night, of course. If it's not at your house, it probably should be. I mean, let's be honest. Amen. Yeah, amen. I made myself some breakfast, got some coffee for the road. So far, so good. Still with this running through my head. What kind of love the Father has for us, or has given to us. And then I heard Micah, who had been working on something and was really frustrated about it, and his frustration was boiling over. So before I left, I sat down with him, and unfortunately for Micah, he gets this a lot because his dad's a preacher. We just talked for a couple minutes. And I told him it's okay to be frustrated, but he doesn't have to let it boil over. He's able to exercise self-control. Now, this isn't a story about Micah. Because I may have just been reading into the look on his face, but there was a loud and clear message that rang in my ears right at that moment. Well, that's rich, old man. That is really rich coming from you. Let's be honest. He has seen me act in exactly that way hundreds of times. Micah sees me mostly as I am, without all the guards. He sees the good things and he sees all my hypocrisies. His way of dealing things has everything to do with the way that I've dealt with him. And by the way, it doesn't happen all the time. It's just a moment in his life. But he was living out a family resemblance to me at that moment. So I got in the car. After that, I got in the car, went hiking, had a great time. You know, I was really hot on Friday, and I used probably what is a toxic amount of DEET to keep the bugs off me. All this time, all day, thinking, Lord, what kind of love? What kind of love have you given to us? John says, we'll come back to that story, by the way. John says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And we are. The world doesn't see it, and sometimes we can't quite grasp it. But by faith in Jesus Christ alone, God has adopted us to be His children. The world doesn't know that. How could the world know that? I mean, as John says, the world did not know him. The world did not know Jesus. How is the world supposed to know God's adopted children if the world doesn't know his true son? Jesus is the only one who has the right to be called God's child. Let's just be clear about that. Not you and not me have that right. We have been given that right because of Jesus. All others who are called God's children are only called in Jesus through the Holy Spirit, period. And we have, and by the way, I do want to put a little note on top of that. All human beings are created in the image of God and deserve dignity and respect and love. But not all human beings are the children of God. That only happens in Christ. What kind of love is it? Everything that John says here, it depends on who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Look at verses 5 and 8, okay? God sent Jesus, and he paid the price that we couldn't pay so that we could be forgiven, right? So that he could take away sin, and in him there is no sin. And in verse 8, the Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus, by coming, by giving himself up, made a way for us, for the slate to be wiped clean, for us to be forgiven. And we had to be forgiven if we were ever to become God's children. And as he did that, he took away every power that the evil one has against us. Fear and sin and shame. The Lord Jesus crushed those. Amen? We were like orphans. We felt unloved and hated God. And I know those are strong words, but that's the truth. Apart from Christ, we hated God. It was God's love that sent what was most valuable and what was most precious to him in order to make children out of us. He gave his true son to die to make us his children, his own. Think about what kind of love that is. What kind of love? Is it the kind of love that you find anywhere else? And what does that tell you about God and what type of father he is? And what does that mean for how you live? How you respond? John tells us as we look back at the text and at verses 3 and 7 that the children of God grasp onto the specific kind of love of God and we rest in it because of Jesus. We're purified in it. We live in righteousness because of it. Because Jesus himself is pure and righteous. Because there is no sin in Jesus, he was able to take away our sin. We aren't a people who cling to some ideal of how the good life could be, or just some ideology of how to be moral and upright in a society. We are a people who cling to Jesus, a person who has made us children of a Father who loves us. We're not orphans. Not anymore. We are children of God if we are in Christ today. When the Spirit of God wants to teach about what it means to be part of God's family, what does he do? When we talked about this last week, we're going to talk about it in a few weeks again. He points right at Jesus. The Holy Spirit points right at Jesus, and he points at Jesus' purity and Jesus' righteousness, and he says right there, that is what made you a child of God in the first place. That right there is how you live in it. That's how you live in purity. That's how you live in righteousness, by living in Jesus. That's how you live out a family resemblance to God. called. I don't know about you. I forget what a life-transforming and life-changing reality it is to be God's child. I wake up in all my anxieties, and I don't even think about it usually. When we fail to believe that we're God's children in Christ, we inevitably try to make up for it in some other way, don't we? We continue to practice sin in areas of our lives where we don't think Jesus is enough. We don't think Jesus is quite enough to earn us that love of the Father. Here's the thing. Jesus came because the Father already loved us. We think of God more as a taskmaster than a loving Father. We do. And so we live out a family resemblance to that belief, to that God. The problem is that's not God. And where does that leave us? That leaves us just trying to pretend that our sin isn't as bad as it is and trying to perform our way into some sort of acceptance before God. Maybe, just maybe, God will accept us if we try real hard. That's how the world operates, after all, isn't it? That's often the message we even give to our children. Measure up to the standard. Measure up to the standard and I'll love you. In our bad moments, at least. God says you don't measure, God just says it, man, you don't measure up to the real standard. You don't. But I love you and I gave what I think is most precious for you. What is your family resemblance to God? John makes such a point, makes it such a point in verses 4 to 10 that we cannot, we must not, we will not, as God's family, we will not go on sinning. All sin is a denial of God. What family resemblance is going on in your life right now? You resemble the family you belong to. Friends. I said all sin is a denial of God. I don't know if you think about it that way. But big and little. Each and every one of those sins cost the Son of God his life. That cost is infinite. That price is infinite. So we think we can dabble in sin here and there because it seems relatively harmless. And on a day-to-day basis, we get away with that. But John tells us that to purposely walk in sin denies Jesus. It denies Jesus. It denies why he came. It denies his work. The only way that you can go on sinning and think it's no big deal is if you are not a child of God. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to struggle. I'm not talking about some sort of perfection here. I'm talking about the callous disregard and rationalizing of our sin. You cannot continue to do that. The family resemblance that you're living out is not God's family. It's the devil's. The wording there is important that I'm using, okay? Because John says it in verse 9. You can't keep on sinning. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. There's something different being God's child. It changes you. John is not talking about like the possibility of it happening. He's talking about like this. If you are encountering God, God will not allow you to go on doing that. It's like when you come into God's presence, it's like when you step into the sun for a long time and you get a deep, let's say, tan. Some of us burn, right? It changes you. The glory of Jesus will change you. Abiding in Jesus changes your life. John made a point of saying that Jesus is pure, Jesus is righteous, and we're purified by the one who is pure in the hope that we'll be like him. We practice righteousness out of the conviction that we don't lack anything in Jesus. But we often think that God is just waiting to crush us, that his disappointment in us is going to find us on the outside looking in. That's the kind of father that we treat him as so often, that he's not the father he claims to be. But again, let's circle back around. What kind of love does he actually give to us? It had nothing to do with what you deserve. But if the kind of love that God gave to us in making his children what it wasn't ever about what you deserve, then why do you think you need to hold on to your sin? Why do you think that you need to hide from God in shame? Let's circle back around to Friday. On my way home, from hiking on Friday, I was listening to some music and I kept listening to the same two songs over and over and over again for whatever reason. The first one was a hymn called "Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken," written by a man named Henry Light. Henry Light's father was terrible. His earthly father sent him, when his mom died, sent Henry off and really only communicated him by letter, and even in those letters wouldn't acknowledge that he was Henry's father at all. Henry had lived a life being hurt and wounded and seeing how badly damaged you can be by an earthly father. But I want you to listen to the words that Light penned and consider the kind of love that he found in God. Think what spirit dwells within thee. Think what father's smiles are thine. Think what Jesus died to win thee. Child of heaven, canst thou repine? Repine just means rest, yo. Think what spirit dwells within you. Think what father's smiles are yours. Think what Jesus died to win you. Think that Jesus died to win you. I listened to that song over and again, and the Holy Spirit showed me that I had been living out of a false family resemblance. That was pointed out to me really, really starkly when I had that moment with Micah in the morning. Not only when I boil over in anger, but when I hide from God in shame. I said that I was listening to two songs over and over again. So that's when the second one came in. Arise, my soul, arise. Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive him. Oh, forgive, they cry. Forgive him. Oh, forgive, they cry. Nor let that ransomed sinner die. What family resemblance are you living? Why, my friend, are you living a life as though God is going to suddenly turn the tables on you? Why are you hiding? John invites us today, just with that moment in verse 1, see what kind of love the Father has for you. See what kind of love he's given to us, that he would make us children of God. And we are. And we are. He puts the exclamation point on it. All of this is true in Jesus, and only in Jesus.